We come to John 4 to this story of the woman of Samaria, this interview of the Lord Jesus right at the well. Her life is a story of God's great grace. It is a story of a woman who was taken from the depths to the heights, from being one who was a stranger to the Lord to become a very powerful witness, telling others about the Lord Jesus. Put your hand up if you told someone about the Lord Jesus this week. Well, that's good, and that's wonderful. But we don't always find it easy. We don't always find it a joy to our souls to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus. Something happened to this woman that she could not help but leave the water pot behind and run off to tell her village, her fellow neighbors, that Jesus, the Messiah, she has found him. She has found him. What a joy was in her soul. I wonder, is there that joy in your soul today? Can you say that that's why you want to witness? Because there's such a joy in your own soul that you just want to tell others about the Lord Jesus. Now at the well, in this interview, you'll notice that she was a blind sinner. She was physically near the Lord, but she was spiritually a million miles away. She hadn't a clue of who this person was until the Lord revealed himself. Verse 10, which we may take as our text today, is the very statement where the Lord reveals himself to this woman. Jesus said and answered unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Throughout this interview, she feels the test over and over. She only displays, really, the great darkness of her own soul. Now, she was a Samaritan. She talked about that hill where the Lord would return. She talked about, we are not all of the Jews, for the Jews, they have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she had deep religious convictions. She spoke of water, but she could only think of the water in the well. She couldn't think about this living water of which the Lord Jesus. She spoke about worship being limited to this mountain, but she didn't realize that she was standing before the one whom she should worship. She even spoke of the Messiah, while not aware that he was right in front of her. Now, this is a sad commentary where the Lord says, if thou knewest. It's a sad commentary. Here is a woman who has some light, some tradition, a whole lot of religion, but she's still in the dark. And you know, that's true of so many people to this hour. They have tradition, they have religion, they have notions, but they're a million miles away from the Lord. And we have to say that these people perish for the lack of knowledge. If thou knewest. So I want to tackle the job today as preacher here. I want to tackle the job of removing those things that blind us from the Lord. You can see that all of these things that this woman had, they were only adding to her blindness. And that's the world in which we live. That's the confusion that's all around us. A whole lot of religion, a whole lot of tradition, a whole lot of men's notions and personal ideas. And what are they but blinders to darken the darkness? People say that they have religion and their schools of learning. They are devoted to their mantras and their various holy books. But I reply, all of those things, they just drive people further and further away from the Lord. The truth is in Protestant churches today. Protestant churches. Churches that ought to bring the light of the Lord Jesus. But there are people who are going further and further on the road to hell while they sit in church, perhaps even now, while we sit in our church. And what might be worst of all, that there's someone sitting amongst us here today, and you are going further and further into darkness. Surely it's my task to clear away anything that would add to that blindness. Now, the first cause, of course, is our fallen nature. Every son of Adam and Eve is born blind, spiritually blind. We cannot know God, neither do we seek after Him. And of course, there's all kinds of secular knowledge around us, and people think that because of this vast explosion of information in this digital age, well, people ought to be nearer to God. Well, let me tell you, the greatest whiz on computer is not any nearer to God than this woman with her water pot in a simple lifestyle. In fact, I would say that all the modern advance of secular knowledge is just causing greater blindness. They are further tools to distract and to blind. And I would say this, if this Samaritan woman, in her simplicity of life, fetching water from the well, was blinded to the Lord Jesus, how much more may men and women today? Surely our text, therefore, is very relevant. If thou knewest. So let the preacher begin his work. If thou knewest, the things that you need to know, the things you need to know, that you might become a living witness to rejoice in the Lord as your Savior. Firstly, we have to know that the Lord Jesus is the gift of God. Did you notice that in our text, verse 10? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Oh, here is the preaching of grace right away. If thou knewest God's great gift of marvelous love. And he had to lead this woman out of that rut of carnal thinking and get her to the place where she would just ask. If you read the whole verse carefully, it says this, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked. If there's a gift, you ask for it. That's salvation. That's salvation. That's how it works. Salvation is God's gift. And all you need to do as a sinner is ask. Is ask for it. And you need to learn that. And for some reason, human nature being what it is, it's a difficult thing to learn. It's a hard one. People don't grasp it. You mean it's as simple as that? I don't need to climb a mountain, don't need to cross a sea, I don't need to pay money, I don't need to do works of religion and go through the whole rigors of ceremony. No! Ask, and ye shall receive. That's the very first principle of the gospel. That's why it's good news. That's why it's the best news the world has ever received. And outside of biblical Christianity, you'll not hear that news. Ask and receive. You'll be told to do and do and do and do. And you'll be on that treadmill of doing till the day you die, and then you still won't have done enough. But here is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and he says to this woman, it's a gift. And then he pointed out, more than that, that he himself was the gift. He is the gift. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee. If you only knew me, if you only knew who you're talking to, he was the gift, the very gift of God. And of course, God's Son is the gift of all gifts. And we're told in Romans 8:32 that he that hath given us his Son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And if we know that he's the gift of God, we put our faith in him, then we've come to the light. We've come to the knowledge that is essential to peace with God and fellowship with him, the gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, to natural minds, I say this is very foreign. It's all contrary to the principles of trade. in the principles of merchandise and trade. You give, you receive. Fair value, profit, and we trust no loss. Nobody wants to take a loss. You want your money's worth and more. That's the world of trade. But salvation's a gift. It's contrary to the world in which we live, or of human desert. Work, receive. Perform, reward. No, this is ceasing from work and accepting the very gift. Again, human desert, you reap what you sow. If that was the case, we'll all be in hell, because we have sown sin. We have sown the broken law. We have offended God over and over and over. And the harvest of that sowing is eternal destruction. The wages of sin is death. But God's gift, God's salvation is a gift. It's also contrary to law, because the law says the sinner must die. You're guilty, you pay. The eternal payment is eternal hell. But this is God's gift. If thou knewest. Here's the light dawning. Here's the light coming on. Here's your mind opening up to the great reality that it's a gift. Full, free, unmerited redemption. And of course, on your own terms, human works, you really try to become your own Savior. We preach that you need the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And if you're depending on works religion, then you're making your own Savior. And you're really making yourself your own Savior. It's preposterous. It's just so off the wall, so far off the mark. God's gift is your only hope. Ask. Ask. Will you do that? Will you stretch out the hand of faith to receive the gift of God's Son? That's number one. Secondly, we learn here, we need to know that the Lord Jesus is willing to give living water. Again, this verse 10, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, this woman, of course, was burdened about her domestic needs, hence the pot, hence the trip to the well, and her interview with the Lord at that well. And it was not till the end of the conversation with the Lord Jesus that she left her pot and went off running to tell others that she had found the Messiah. Oh, what an interview it was. The light came on. And what eventually got through to her was the fact of these very opening words of the Lord Jesus, that he would give living water. And therefore she abandoned her pot and went off running. There's the gift. Living water. What is this? Living water. It doesn't come out of a well. It doesn't pour into a pot. It is life from above. It's the new birth. It's regeneration. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into the heart and the soul of men, women, and young people who trust the Lord Jesus as the Savior. This is the living water that Jesus gives. Do you know that? If thou knewest the gift of God, you have to understand too that the Lord Jesus is the giver. He gives living water. There's no one else. He gives living water. And this is the very spirit of the giver. He's willing. He's willing to give. If thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest have asked, and thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given. There's no doubt about it. There's the willingness of the Lord Jesus. Of course, for this reason, our Lord came into the world, not to condemn, but to save. He wants to give life, not condemnation. For this purpose, he suffered on the cross. And when you see that dying figure upon the Roman gibbet, when you hear the agonies, the cries, the groans of our Lord, and his prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's he doing? He's willing to give pardon, forgiveness, full salvation. And for this purpose, our Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the world. That's his promise. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter who will come unto you, even the Holy Spirit. He's in the world. He comes into our hearts. This is the living water. And for this purpose, he sends preachers. And he raises up missionaries and churches and ministries of the gospel. Why? Because the Lord Jesus wants to give living water, salvation, to all who will believe. I thank God across this country there are churches that preach this gospel. I thank God that there are missionaries in ever so many corners of the world telling the old, old story of the cross, of Jesus and his love. Why has God done this? Because he gives living water, and he's willing to do it. It's full and free, without limitation or restriction. Now let me say, go into a little side issue here, let me say that there are some circles today, we'll call them hyper-Calvinist, that deny this element of the gospel. They get so hung up on the whole doctrine of election that they say that it's not the preacher's task to call men to believe in the Lord Jesus. In the history of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, there was a school of thinking that was they limited the gospel. They made it so narrow. And then they developed what became known as the Octer Ardor Creed. I'll spell that for you some other time. The Octer Ardor Creed, it was called. And the substance of that creed really was that no preacher can call sinners to Jesus too soon. Those became the key words. You can never invite a sinner to Jesus too soon. Is it possible that someone in Cloverdale or further afield comes in through the doors of the church, sits and takes in one service and is converted? If you say impossible, then that puts some restriction. That means you're guarding something. Can the Holy Spirit do again what the Lord Jesus did with this woman at the well? One interview, full conversion. Yes, he can. And the Lord, you'll notice, offered this woman living water right off. Right off. Now we'll see later that he came to talk to her about her sin. He came to talk to her about her lifestyle. But he offered her the living water right off. And this is the balance that we need in the preaching of the gospel. This is what we call the free offer of the gospel. Without restriction. I'm not going to tell you that you have to be under the burden of sin 6 weeks or 6 months before you can come and enjoy the assurance of salvation and drink of this living water. I'm not going to tell you, don't get saved today, come back next week. If you have a burden over your sin, and you see by faith that Christ offered on that cross a sufficient penalty for sin that needs no addition, can you be saved now? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. No one can come too soon. That's the gospel. That's the offer of living water. That's the willingness of the Lord Jesus to save your soul. Number three then, something else you need to know. We have to know that when you ask for salvation, the Lord will look into your heart to expose your sin. Ah, this dear woman, verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband. And come hither. How adeptly, how wisely our Lord opened up this whole subject of her life, her lifestyle. And thankfully, and I'm sure it was grace, that she was open to her Lord and she said, Lord, I don't have a husband. I've had five husbands. And the man I'm now living with is not my husband. And when she came face to face with the Lord Jesus, he read her heart. He read her heart. To the point where the Lord said, or the woman said in verse 19, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now I said the woman confessed. The Lord searched her heart. And he told her all about herself. And her sin was exposed. You see, the gospel is not a means of covering up sin. It's not a means of just covering it over, sweeping things under the carpet. It has to be acknowledged, and it has to be put right. And as the Lord Jesus interviews you, He looks right into your heart, and He knows the state of your heart, and He knows the deadness, He knows the guilt, He knows the very way in which you've broken the law of God, and it has to be acknowledged and put right. But you don't do that alone, of course. You don't do that alone. It's a mistake to think that you must clean up your own life and then come back to Jesus. There is another pitfall for seeking sinners. If only I got time to put things right in my life, then I could come back and consider trusting in the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you, if you wait until you're better, you'll never come at all. You'll never be better qualified to trust Jesus than you are right now as a sinner. What is it is your qualification for salvation? That you're righteous, moral, pay your bills, kind, generous? Are those things the qualifications for salvation? No. What makes you qualified to be a believer in the Lord Jesus? That you acknowledge you're a sinner. And you come in an open, honest fashion saying, Lord, I've got a mess in my life I can never clean up. And there's only one power that will cleanse me, and that's the blood shed at the cross. And here is the thing that you must know. You see, the Lord did not drive her away. What He asked and what He exposed about her sin was not to drive her away. It gave her an opportunity to confess. How gracious and gentle the Lord works with the worst of sinners. It says that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Do you tell me today your heart's broken? You have come to this place of contrition, which means of sorrow over sin? Let me tell you, if the Lord Jesus did not drive away this woman, I, as the preacher, dare not drive away the seeking, searching soul today. I must extend to you the same love, the same grace, the same open, honest, full mercy that the Lord gives to His people. And the church cannot close its doors to the seeking sinner because he hasn't yet cleaned up his life. But rather, we welcome and we invite you to come. Are you ready to confess? Perhaps you're just too embarrassed. I read of a woman with a bundle of dirty washing who took it to the public wash baths, and when she arrived there, there were so many people around that she was ashamed to open up her bundle of laundry and start washing because it was so filthy. And so to save herself the embarrassment, she just took the whole bundle of laundry, dunked it into the water a few times, and off she went. All to save herself the embarrassment of letting others see her filthy rags. A lot of people are like that foolish woman. They say, I would be a Christian, but I don't want to expose my sin. I don't want to confess that I'm a sinner. But I do want to tell you today that to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus, it's not the confessional box where you tell all your sins to me. I'm not a priest. I'm a pastor. I tell you where to go with your sin. I tell you that you must be open and confess it not to men, but to the Lord Jesus. And I guarantee you His reception, His mercy, and His grace to your soul. Now, there's one more thing that we need to know. And as we look down this chapter, I come now to verse 25 on down. We need to know that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah. We need to be very clear on this. In verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. Obviously, she had the word of God. She had this knowledge that the Messiah would come. which is called Christ. That's the New Testament term for Messiah. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow. What a revelation. What a claim. She had to be told that he was the Messiah. She had to be told. She could not figure it out. She could not add two and two together. This man is a prophet. Here he is searching my heart, telling me all things ever I did. She just did not add it up and click. He had to tell her. And let me tell you, we're all like that. You can set information before people, but it won't save them until the Lord reveals himself, opens their eyes and understanding to the great truth. You see, it takes a miracle of grace to reveal the Lord Jesus, opening hearts to who he really is, that he's the Messiah. Now, as we read there, Messiah means the Christ, the sent one. He's the only Savior of the world. And you need to know that. You need to know it. You need to confess it. You need to rejoice in it. Now, the Lord stood before her, of course, in real life, human nature, as the Messiah. What was it that convinced her? What convinced her? Well, it wasn't appearance, because our Lord Jesus, outwardly, externally, was like any other man. There was no transfiguration, glistening of his body before her. It was the word the Lord spoke. It was the word the Lord spoke. I that speak unto thee am he. What is it that convinces men that the Lord Jesus is the Christ? His word. That's how he operates. That's how we're saved. That's how we're convinced. In verse 41, you'll notice that it says, and many more believed because of his own word. You see, they didn't just take it from this woman. They had to go through an interview with the Lord Jesus and hear his word. And let me tell you, you don't become a Christian because Ian Gallagher said it. That's not how you become a Christian. You do not rest the eternal welfare of your soul upon some preacher. You've got to hear the Lord speak to your own heart. And you've got to take him at his word. And that's why when I lead a soul to Christ, when I tell someone how to be saved, I always get the Bible. I always come to the verses of the Bible that are appropriate and show them from the Word of God, the promise of salvation, and you base your faith, your hope, your confidence, your eternal future, your eternal life, the living water that you receive. It comes from the Word of God, not the Word of man. Because one day I'll return to dust and ashes. Your hope will be in this Word. And you need to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, based on this word. And so this knowing is by faith in the word. It's not some mystical foreign concept. You can come to the Bible today and say, I believe what this book says about the Lord Jesus. And I'm taking this as my hope for eternal life. That's how you're saved. And that's how you know. That's how you know. We've learned here that ignorance is never the handmaid of the gospel. Our job is to clear away those things that blind and bring you to the place where you can know. And that's why I say, come to the Lord, open the book, and say, Lord, I believe your word, and upon that you're saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's faith in the word. Believe. What about it? There's some here today and you're so busy with your water pot going to the wells of life and you're trying to find opportunity and make a name for yourself. You're trying to do all the material things of this world. Let me tell you, that's water that will never quench the thirst of your soul. You need the Lord Jesus. He gives the water of which if any man drink, he shall never thirst. Will you come? Can I be of any help to you after this service? Will you get serious about your own salvation? What a wonderful life opens up, as it did for this woman when she ran off saying, "Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" What a testimony. What a new woman. Do you have that testimony? Do you need to be changed? It can happen today. Praise God, it can happen today. And if you come to me and say, I need to be saved, I'm not going to drive you away and say, "Look, you've got to hold off." I'm going to encourage you. And if you can say that you can believe this book, you can be saved before you leave this building today. And again, I'm happy to help.